God is good
all the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
When we think about king, I guess, you know, a president is a type of king. It was President Roosevelt. He was standing in line, and a long line of diplomats coming to greet him at the White House. And he complained. He said, "Nobody really listens to me. Nobody actually pays attention to what I'm saying." So he wanted to do a little experiment. He whispered in a low voice that he just injured his mother-in-law this morning. And every person came after in that line. They said, "Great job. Keep up the good work." Every person missed his message. And then the last diplomat from Bolivia, he leaned over and he said, "I think she had it coming." Obviously, it's not good to do this, but it was just a test. He didn't actually do it. The only reason why I bring up this story is to say Jesus is the eternal King.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Yes. And he gives us a message. But do we always listen to the message? It's not a message in which he's booming his voice with a loudspeaker, but a message that is a whisper, a message that's the word of God. But do we actually listen and obey? That's the question. Jesus is King of the universe, but he's a humble king. He is a king that is full of meekness. And of course, he doesn't use violence. He used mercy. But he also has justice, divine justice. It's always our choice to acknowledge him as king. When we came into his kingdom, this church, you know, you reflect on one knee before you got into the pew. Why? Because we acknowledge him as living in that tabernacle. Jesus as King. We made the sign of the cross in the beginning of prayer. That gesture is a sign that we belong to God's kingdom. Amen. That Jesus is King. He came down from heaven, right? We say in the name of the Father, he came down from heaven. He entered into his passion, death, the resurrection. And he took us from the left to the right. We were on the left. We were like goats. Because the first Adam led us away from God. He disobeyed God. Right? The first Adam did not acknowledge God as king. He disobeyed God. He allowed the devil, Adam and Eve obeyed the devil as king, the false king. They disobeyed God as king. Even though they should have been subjected to God as king, they rejected God's one commandment. And so now we have more than one. We have 10 commandments, and on top of that, we have the church's teachings that help us understand those 10 commandments. So, the first Adam fell. He disobeyed. The new Adam obeyed. Amen. Everything our Lord asked us to do, he himself has done. He entered into our humanity, our cross. And so Jesus is a king that is humble. He leads us by his example. He leads us by his mercy, patience. But we also know that this is the test, right? The test of our faith. So a lot of times people confuse our parish with St. Martin of Tours. St. Martin of Tours is a chapel in the seminary. We have Joshua here. And he's very familiar with St. Martin of Tours praying in that that chapel. And in St. Martin of Tours, so this, when he was he saw an elderly man, and he had no clothes. He was clothed. And so St. Martin, he cut off half cloak, and he gave it to this elderly man so that he can have something to wear, the cloak. And then it kept him from being cold. So that he had a dream. And our Lord showed in a vision to St. Martin. And he's talking to angels. And he said, "Look what this Martin did for me. He's not even baptized yet. He was starting on his journey to become Catholic, and he already showed the sign of. And so he's praising Saint Martin to the angel. You know, there was a young man in West Catholic. I mentioned in the past he is studying in. And his name is Arenas. So I asked you to pray for him. This past Wednesday, we have the rite of acceptance of catechumenates. So that means when you become Catholic, you have to have stages. It's this formation. It's not simply studying about what we believe, but it's a journey. And so Arenas and this West Catholic this past Wednesday, he made a type of faith. I asked him, you know, what his name was, and then what does he want from the church? And he says faith and eternal life. All those questions had to be answered, because just like St. Martin, he's entering into this relationship with God. But in that relationship, he's allowing everyone to see that Christ is King. And so in front of all his classmates, all these students in this high school, he had the courage to say this in front of everyone. And he comes to Mass, and he lives in North Philly, and he has his crosses, but he doesn't waver from his faith. And the school minister, she was always very impressed by him. And I'm impressed by him now getting to. He's just a regular teenager boy. He plays West Catholic football, and he loves playing sports. He's just a regular kid. But yet he saw something at baptism. When he went to a baptism, he said, this is what he wants. He saw our Lord in the sacrament of baptism being present. And he wants to follow Jesus as King. Amen? You know, how many young men do we have? You know, we always see in the news so much bad. Our youth getting involved in violence or crime, you know, robbing people and other things. We never hear good. I want to share with you this good news about this young man who is following Christ. The Holy Spirit is leading him as the good shepherd, and he's following our Lord. He's answering the call. We should pray for him, and we should pray for all of our youth. They're on this journey of faith. So when Jesus revealed to us that he is King, he could come at any time in any place. St. Louis de Montfort, he was going to give a retreat at a convent. And he knocked on the door. He said, in the name of Jesus, give me something. He didn't look like a priest. He was in rags. And when he said this to the nun, the sister, she saw him, and she was afraid that they didn't have enough food for him and for the priest that was coming and for themselves. So she didn't give him any food. And he repeated, he said, in the name of Jesus, give me something to eat. He's hungry. And again, she denied him. Then he got impatient. He said, you know, how is it that I'm coming here to give a retreat and you don't recognize Christ as King and me? And he basically kind of was very, for that. He was kind of strong in his language. But the point was to help them to realize, you know, Jesus always, and we always have to see that Jesus come to us in the least.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
It can be a child, it can be a teenager, it could be an elderly person, it could be a middle-aged person, it could be anyone, right, male or female. But the Lord comes to us at the least time we think it's going to happen. They are in need. When we're in need, we are the hidden Christ. And when we accept Jesus as the hidden King in us and in the poor and each other, then we're really acknowledging him as King. That's the test of our faith. That's the test of allowing him to reign in us King. So the Lord calls us to always pay attention. And so when I was at West Catholic, And I had all the students there. It was like half the students were there. Everyone wasn't there for that mass. It was a half course. And, you know, the kids, they seemed kind of like they were just, you know, just trying to be, stay awake, I guess, basically. And they didn't really laugh. And I thought to myself, you know, is this really working? You know, me coming to teaching, some mass. And after the mass, I had a student that said it was a good mass. Amen. Amen. So we never know when, you know, someone is. Jesus always reveals himself to us. Whenever we have that dialogue with our Lord, don't ever think that he won't respond. Because if he's truly king, he's a king that is humble. And when we speak to him, he always speaks to us. Yeah. Because he's that wants us to be apart from him. He is a king that wants to be with us. So much so that he wants to live within us. You know, most kings want to live in a palace and they have all these people surrounding them. There's this great distance, right? This formality. But Jesus is not a king that creates a distance between us and him. I remember, you know, now we know that we have to pray for the Holy Land in Israel, the war that's going there in Palestine for peace. And there's so much evil that's happening there. So many young people, so many people are losing their lives. And we pray for peace there. I remember when I was going to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, I was walking. And they had this, I was dressed in my priestly clothes. And a lot of the priests were, you know, dressing in casual clothing. They didn't have priest clothes. But I figured this is a pilgrimage. I want to dress like a priest. So I'm dressed in my priest clothes. And I'm walking down all the way to the Holy Sepulchre. And a man that was Muslim came up to me. He started to talk to me about Muslim thing. And he seen me dressed in my priestly clothes, and I said, no, I'm not interested. I'm a priest. You know, I'm here on a pilgrimage. I'm going to the Holy Sepulchre. And he kept going on and asking me and talking. And I wasn't interested, of course, right? Because no offense against Islam or other religions, but I know that Jesus is king for me.
Yeah.
And I'm not afraid to say it to anyone. I said, along, and I went to the Holy Sepulchre, and when we waited in line for 1 hour to go to Calvary, where Jesus died, to go, and when you go there, the common way of showing reverence is they have like a glass panel on the floor. It's like a circle, and it has like gold trimmings around it, and they kiss the floor of where the cross laid, because if Jesus is truly king, he's God, then one of the reverence we show is, you know, kissing that ground. We saw show reverence and kiss the gospel, the altar. It was a sign of worship, worshiping God, reverence. So they were all doing that, we all followed. And then after that, everybody to go to the empty tomb. And I thought, okay, it has to be far. It has to be like a great distance. And it wasn't. In the Holy Sepulchre, 100 yards from the Calvary and the empty tomb is just a couple of feet away. You could walk to the other side, and there people are waiting in line to go into the tomb. The tomb where Jesus laid his body. The tomb where Jesus was risen from the dead. And it was a powerful experience to be there, the risen king, right? And I said a prayer. Everybody goes inside and say a prayer there. And the reason why there's a distance, the distance is so short between Calvary and the empty tomb, is because the distance between the kingdom of heaven and earth is not that far. The distance between salvation and not is also not that far. The choice is ours. Every day we think that, oh, you know, we're going to die someday in the future. You know, we don't think about it, which I'm not saying we should think about it often, but there is a sense of we think about judgment and we think about how we're going to be judged when we die. Obviously, it will happen after we die. So Jesus is, in the gospel, he's set as king, but as a judge. So after we die, there's no more Jesus as showing us mercy in the sense that he's going to forgive us more, right? After we're judged, we're judged. So then we're judged of how we forgave. And I had there was a parishioner who said to me that this Thanksgiving, he had a sibling that he never talked to. They had this separation in their relationship. They never talked to each other. They had a falling out. And he called his sibling, and he wanted to forgive his sibling. Even though the sibling didn't say anything about wanting forgiveness, nothing. He just said, look, let's just come together Thanksgiving. Let's just come together and, you know, in forgiveness as a family. And that sibling said yes, right?
Amen.
He didn't ask for forgiveness. He didn't make that sibling apologize or anything. He just said, come on. And so they celebrate together as a family. That's what it means to have Jesus as king. If we can forgive each other and we can come together at the table, then we acknowledge Jesus as king. And when we're judged, Jesus will remember that. He's going to remember the mercy we show each other. And that mercy that we show to each other will come back to us. So when Jesus judges us, he said, when I was away, right? When he was away, you called me back. So that act of mercy that parishioner showed is an act of mercy. And God will remember, because it's not easy to forgive, right? We struggle to forgive, right? But when you forgive and when I forgive, then that is salvation. Because Jesus said, when I was hungry, did you feed me? When I was in prison, did you visit me? Right? In prison. How many would say you want to go and visit someone in prison to help someone who's a prisoner? It's basically to say that to show mercy to all. That's what it means. When he says hungry, thirsty, he's just saying to show mercy to all, anyone, everyone, to say that there's no limitation to the mercy we should show to each other, that there's not a specific time, person, or place. It can be any person, any place, at any time, that Jesus calls us to allow him, his kingdom, to penetrate our hearts,
yes.
His kingdom to penetrate our soul, and to reign as king. Amen?
Yes.
So I was impressed to hear that this parishioner did that, and I wanted to share that, because Jesus is always working, and he's always showing us. So we want to be the sheep, right, that is on the right, and not the goat that is on the left.
Come on.
And we want to keep being on that right, the right of Christ, so that when we're judged, we experience the reward of Jesus as King of Heaven. We experience the reward of entering the kingdom of heaven. Because this is a king who will remember the mercy we show and the mercy that he tastes from our hands. So we see that we come here to receive the king in the most holy Eucharist, right? The king coming into us physically through the body of Christ, the blood and body of Christ. And so we receive Jesus as king. I ask you and invite you, right after you receive Holy Communion. So before you receive Holy Communion, when you know Christ is king, instead of bowing to the person that's standing in front of you, wait for that person to move. And after you bow, then you extend your hand, after you're upright. So don't bow when you have communion in your hand, because now you have Jesus on your hand. You're bowing with the king. You don't want to bow with the king. You want to stand up straight. When you receive the body of Christ, you stand up straight, right? And open your hand like this. Sometimes I've seen some preachers kind of move their fingers like this to receive Holy Communion. So instead of doing this, which will most likely make the Holy Eucharist fall on the ground, it's better to put your hand like this. And to not rush, just, you know, take your time.
Amen.
On your hand, and to focus on him, so that you receive the body of Christ into your body, into your soul. So the focus is on Christ the King. And whenever I say body of Christ,
only one word.
Amen. All right, so there's no nothing else other than not thank you. There's nothing else, just amen. That's for saying Christ is King. You're saying Jesus is King, Jesus is Lord. So just one word, amen. And that amen is a sign of our faith that Christ is present. And when you go back to your pews, I ask you another favor. I ask you to just talk. Jesus is now in your soul. And if he's King and he's inside you, why not talk to the King?
Come on.
Amen?
Amen.
So when you receive the King, talk to the King. Let the King hear your voice. Because that's what he wants. He wants to hear our voice. So acknowledge the King in your soul. And that's what we're all called to do. And this is what is going to happen when you do this. When you do this, you rejoice the heart of Christ. Once. This is not something that I came up with. This is what I'm just a messenger. He wants us to show reverence. He wants us to receive him, and he wants us to talk to him.
Amen.
To talk to him as a friend. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.